bring greetings to you this morning, not from Calvary, but Winchester. I am from the Winchester congregation, and we're here to share with you this morning. I was again impressed by the Sunday school lesson, and the necessity of the blood of Jesus Christ to be shed once and for all. But it is a necessity that we apply to our heart regularly to find that forgiveness of sins. We sang a song this morning that I have to wonder if we really know, and I'm including myself in that, what it means to be perfectly broken. Perfectly broken. Even when we have given our hearts to the Lord and we have vowed to serve Him and reject sin, and we give our hearts to ordination work to serve the church, and then give our hearts to a new church, I have found in my own experience that somehow when we seek the Lord's will, there's always our humanity that keeps cropping up. And what I mean when I say that is that we commit ourselves to Christ, the church, and the work. And we're supposed to lay everything out for Him. But somehow in the midst of struggles, we try to plan. And we try to do this, and it don't work, and we do this. And we just, it's your nature constantly cropping up, trying to somehow direct the affairs of this man. Perfectly broken. You know, perfectly broken is when we know that we're perfectly broken. When all we have to hand to Jesus is a handful of puzzle pieces. Say, Lord, I can't put it together. It's tough. That the trying of your faith be much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto the praise and the glory and the honor of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Perfectly broken. You know, this morning, the Lord has no problem breaking us. When you get to the place where you know that only one thing stands in the light that has the answers, and it's Jesus Christ, and I'm done. God work for me, whatever that may be. This morning is a very simple sermon, and I found it to be good for me, and I prepared it and preached it at Winchester because people had Winchester are going through struggles that most of you don't know anything about. And even at Cumberland, many of those people were just rejoicing this morning. They only have to drive 20 minutes to church. You know? And we rejoice in that too. But when you tear up roots and settle them down someplace else, and there's so many things uncertain, it becomes very difficult. I don't have necessarily a title to this morning's message. I thought and pondered it about it, and I couldn't seem to come up with anything. I do have a text verse. I think it's 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And a man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. This morning, it's my intent to somehow please the Lord and to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And there are examples in the scriptures of people that have done that, and that's what I'd like to do this morning. There's three sets of people, three couples that I'd like to take you to and share a few things about these people. And they were human beings just like you and I. There's nobody in the Bible that didn't have flesh and blood. And didn't have the struggles that you have. And I have. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. First two people I like to look at is Zechariah and Elizabeth. And they're a beautiful picture of two old people when we learn to know them in the scriptures. I like to read Luke 1, 5 to 20. And I'm going to read these scriptures because sometimes we read a small portion and then pick out little things, but there's enough in the passage that I want to bring it out and help us to see the value of a story like this. Luke 1, 5, and there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife's name was of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinance of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. And it came to pass, though he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? for I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent unto you and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Now, a number of negative and positive things about this, but I'd like to start at the end of it, verse 20, and work back to the other end of it, beginning of the chapter. Zechariah understood that this was, and naturally speaking, was an impossible thing to happen. It just didn't happen. It happened in the life of Abraham, but that was a long time ago. And Zechariah didn't hardly know. He was reasoning, and he understood his position. But the angel said that thou believest not my words. I think Zacharias really wanted to believe God, but his humanity stood in the way, and he seen the impossibility of it all. But Zechariah was also asking for, he said, how shall I know that this is going to be? And Mary asked the same question. And there's probably other people in the scriptures asked the same question. And he was actually asking for a sign, like Gideon. And he said, how should I know these things are going to be? Now, the angel said that this will be the sign. You'll be dumb and not able to talk until all of this is fulfilled in their season. Excuse me. And so that's exactly what happened. Zacharias was dumb. He couldn't speak. He couldn't tell. He had to write things on paper for people. Now, another thing about this is that I believe Zechariah and Elizabeth had long since stopped praying for a child. You know, when they were young, newly married, and maybe up to even time when it was not time for women to bear children anymore, they probably prayed. But they finally, I think, decided that this, you know, we might as well stop praying for this child because we are not going to have any. And so they stopped praying. I don't think they really prayed. They weren't praying for a child when this angel appeared in the temple. But the interesting thing is, when the angel came unto him, the angel said to him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. That is present tense, brothers and sisters. You see, the first time Zechariah and Elizabeth prayed for a child, God heard it. And it was always in the present tense with an almighty God. It was always in the present tense. It may have taken 40, 50 years on our part to see it answered. But you know, that was always in the mind of God. God never forgot that prayer. That God doesn't forget. He was always there. And when the angel came, he said, thy prayer is heard. And it wasn't the one that Zacharias prayed that day. Yeah, he heard that one too, but this was for a child. Now, one of the tremendous things about Zechariah and Elizabeth, going on back to verse 6. We talk about the failures of the Old Testament economy, the sacrifice, and all of that. But here you see two people that were old. And it says they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord blameless. These two people knew what it was to take that lamb and have it offered. They understood that exactly. He would have known that God made a promise to Adam and Eve that there would be a seed raised up that would deliver them. They understood that. And by faith, they continued to do that very thing throughout their life. And they were faithful in their responsibilities. They never ceased to do it. Zacharias was still offering incense. He probably started doing that when he was about 20 years of age. And he was still doing it. What's the lesson for that in us? You see, there has to be, and I'll go back to a brokenness. There has to be a place where we just stop seeing ourselves and start to see God. And you know, when we give our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, it has to be the last and final thing that we do. It has to be forever if you want to make it to heaven. No turning back. No turning back. You need to live. Live in obedience to Holy Scriptures. Just like God says. Not 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, but your whole life through. You've got to do that. People that can't claim to be Christians, no matter how strong and how verbal and how zealous they can be about that, if they are not obeying the Scriptures, they are not saved. That's all there is to it. I was reading a book some time ago about Jews that were getting converted, and they were in their own little Jewish community helping other Jewish people get saved. But that's not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when a Jew comes to Christ in this age, he has to lay down all his Jewishness. He can't hang on to those things. He can't hang on to his credentials that he's a son of Abraham by blood. You and I are sons and daughters of Abraham. You see, when we come to the foot of the cross, it's a level plane, and we all have to do the same thing, no matter what nationality, no matter how good we are, how rich we are, how poor we are, whatever, what name you have, it doesn't matter. It comes to a level experience, and we're all equal in Christ Jesus. And the challenge for me is that I would be committed to this thing every day of my life. You know, when the trials really get hard, you know, we can wonder if God does hear. And when God doesn't answer, does he really hear? That's the challenge of our faith. To just keep being righteous, walking in the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord blameless, even though we haven't heard anything for 40 years? Is God true or isn't he true? Is God alive or isn't he alive? He is. He is. But it's a challenge to our faith to believe the promise of God, that they're sure, in spite of the distance between point A and point B. And just committedly offer incense, study the scriptures, be obedient to the church, do the things that you just know you need to do. Even though there's no angel coming and standing in your presence, even though there's no visible anything, faith. There's a song that says, when my senses, it's talking about old people, when my senses and my sight give out, let me live by faith alone. You know? When there's so many things, let's live by faith alone. Now, those people lived a long time waiting for the Lord to answer their prayer, but God did. The next couple I'd like to look at is Joseph and Mary. You can turn to, still in chapter 1, verse 26. I'd like to read this. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth. And the sixth month is just a reference to when Elizabeth conceived. It was her sixth month. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And then Mary arose and hid in the hill country of Judea and was with Elizabeth till John was born. And then she returned to her hometown again. Now the Jews said, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? When Jesus was a man, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? You see, it talks about Galilee of the Gentiles. Nazareth was a bad place. The Pharisees also talked amongst themselves. Has there ever been a prophet out of Galilee? There's never been any prophets come out of Galilee. Now, why do you think this man would be a prophet from Galilee? The town of Nazareth was a place off the main road where the Roman soldiers would stop by to rest and relax. And if you have any idea what rough soldiers would be. That's what Nazareth was like. There were probably a few virgins in Nazareth. But there was one. There was one. And when she returned from Nazareth, from Elizabeth's house, she had been 3 months pregnant. And Joseph found that out. He was going to put her away privately because he was a just man. And the Lord come and told him, he says, fear not to take Mary, thy wife. And so Joseph did that. One thing that's interesting about Joseph, every time God talked to him and told him something to do, he did it. God said, take her as your wife. And then God said, get down to Egypt. Take him down there because his life is sought for. And then God came into Egypt and said, you can return home now. And then, I don't know where he was going to, probably to Bethlehem, but he heard about Archelaus. Not and being warned in a dream, he turned aside and departed from Nazareth. That's what God told him to do. I believe this was probably a very strange experience for both of them. He took her as his wife, but he didn't know her until after Jesus was born. Now, in Zechariah and Elizabeth, we looked at a couple that had been faithful over a long period of time. But here is a couple that has to live under a shadow all their life through. You know, it's not something, it was continued. In other words, everybody knew that Mary was pregnant before she married Joseph. Everybody knew that. The Jews accused Jesus, we be not born of fornication. And you have to admire the man Joseph because he still took Mary as his wife, knowing that he would live under that shadow his whole life through. And Mary, both of them, lived under the shadow of accusations of sin in their life, wrongdoing, even when they were righteous. You know, that's sort of like Moses, who said he counted more pleasure to bear the reproaches of Christ, and he called them greater riches than all the glories of Egypt. And as Christians, we probably all come under the condemnation of the world. We're strange people. We do so many things different, and it just, and the more we do for Christ, the more things we are for him, the greater the reproach for us is. You see, Jesus was the off-scarring of a man in his day. He was a man that was despised and rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows, and he was acquainted with grief, and we hid ourselves, our faces from him. Surely he was despised, and we esteemed him not. It pleased the Lord to bruise him and to make him ashamed. And for us to identify with Jesus is not a happy-go-lucky, joyous experience in life. It can be a hard life. God has not promised skies always blue, flowers strewn pathways all our lives through. But God has promised strength for the day, grace for the way. And I can tell you when those moments, when I was crying and praying, it seemed like your grace would just come and I could relax. The day wasn't quite so dark as it had been. Are we willing to put our hand to the plow and never look back? We have to have that commitment that, you know, there's nothing. We don't know what we'll face yet in the future, but we believe we can face it with God. With God as our captain, it doesn't matter what is out there. What did the angel tell Mary? Nothing is impossible with God. We can expect fantastic things from our Lord God Almighty. But we have to identify with Him, and we have to identify with His cross. People don't like crosses today. They don't like to deny self. They don't like that part of life. My wife and I was talking on the way up here. She said, 2.5 hours to preach a sermon? Come 2.5 hours to preach a sermon? Ah, yes. I said, yeah, that's the way it is. And I told her, I said, I hope the Lord makes it good. But God is able to do that. You know, it's not, it really wasn't a burden for me to come to 4th Avenue this morning. Yes, it was tough to get up early. I was up and left home long before you get out of bed, probably, just to be here to be with you and to preach the Word of God to you. The cross is not greater than His grace. The storm cannot hide His blessed face. I've been singing that song recently, and I always stop at part of it. It says, when trials end in patience, around thee darkly flow. Be not discouraged, brother. But firmly take your stand. Then it says, you bring your cares to Jesus and let them all there. You know, that's tough. How can I take my cares to Jesus and just let them all there when my mind's just full of them? My mind's just full of the cares. And why would the Lord place upon me things that would just heap more cares upon me yet? Yeah. I bought a property in Virginia and put the one in Pennsylvania up for sale. You know, it's been over like 140 or 50 days since I put it on the market, and there hasn't been a showing yet. But that becomes a care after a while, but that's one I have to lay down. It's one I have to wait and trust God for. I don't know what He wants, you know. But I know He wants me. And He wants me to walk and have faith to believe that He is taking me away, that He wants me to go. And you know, that's what He wants. He wants people And I'm not saying I'm perfect, and I know I can lay down my cares and I can pick them up in the next 5 minutes. And it's a conflict in our own human hearts to let the cares lay down there. The last two people I'd like to look at are old people. It's after the birth of Jesus when they come to Jesus. they took Jesus to the temple. And there was an old man there that had seen a vision or had been revealed to him that by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. There was an old woman there, Anna, that has been a widow for about 80 years. And they both come into the temple and Simeon took up the child in his arms. Verse 29 of chapter 2. It says, "Now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken. And Simeon said, blessed them, and said unto Mary, his mother, "Behold, the child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And then Anna gave praise and honor and glory to God as well. You know, we looked at Zachariah and Elizabeth. You had a long life of barrenness, nothing to show forth what people normally expect in a marriage. No children, not even a girl. You know, girls weren't very important in the Old Testament. It's boys that counted. It's not that way now. And Joseph and Mary. But here I see two people that had hope. They had hope. They had faith. And they hoped for something. God had told Simeon that there, you won't die until you see the Lord's Christ. And you know, he was coming to the temple. I don't know how often he went to the temple, but I think it does say that he went there by direction of the Holy Spirit at this point. But how many times Simeon went to the temple and looked at the babes that mothers and fathers were bringing in to have them taken care of according to the law. But now I said, now let thy servant depart in peace, because I've seen him. You know, he's seen the hope and the glory of Israel. He's seen the answer of God. He's seen the salvation that was coming. He had looked for it. And Anna spent night and day fasting and praying in the temple. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Things of time and sense have a way of gripping us. But I want to confirm to you that God does rule in the affairs of nations. He sets up in whom he will. Even the basis of men, he will set up for his own purpose. Jesus Christ is overseeing the welfare of his church this morning, his bride. And he has a personal presence in our lives. And he has a deep interest in my total being, in your total being. I want to tell you this morning that when Jesus looks down and God looks down on the earth, he sees a faithful people. He knows exactly who you are. He knows everything about you. And he is deeply interested in the things that affect you in my life. And he brings some of those things into our life just to make us better. That's what they're there for. You know, Jesus would have made a people that would just serve him because of the good things they get out of life. And you know, we've been there. Most of us have had pretty good things in our lives. Just the fact that you're here this morning, you've had some good things in your life. And why God brings things into people's lives, you know, we may never understand in this life. Just heard last night that Marvin Musser, Bishop of Strasbourg's son, Joe, about 35, not married. He's out bow hunting yesterday morning. And I think it was around 6 or 6:30, he got out of his tree stand. And he lay there at around lunchtime. He tried to call for help on his cell phone, but his fingers wouldn't work to do it. And when they found him, they thought he was dead, but he is still alive. But he was badly broken up. Bad. They wasn't even sure if he lived. Not, I don't even know if he'll make it yet. There's so many things messed up in his body. But they said he will be paralyzed from his chest down if he does make it. He was a nice boy. He was a member of Strasbourg. But he was dedicated. He was quiet. Why? You know, there has to be a lesson there for somebody. Maybe there's a lesson there for him. Maybe there's a lesson there for us. But God is great, and God is on the throne. And he still has a deep interest in Joe Musser. That didn't happen just because it wasn't an accident. Well, we could say I was, yeah. But no, those things happened by divine order in his children's lives. He directs us and guides us. May the Lord bless you as you continue to walk with him. You've given up some of your church family and they start another church. Be faithful and continue to press on. Fill your place and part here, just as others have to do. And we just pray that the Lord would keep us all safe from the straight and narrow way, bearing the burdens, enduring as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's near the prayer. O God Almighty, the everlasting Father, creator of the ends of the earth, who is not weary, nor becomes faint, His eyes are always open, never misses a thing. Thank you, Father. Thank you for having a deep interest in us. Thank you that it was deep enough that you was willing to give your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sin. That we might have an eternal part in your kingdom. Oh Lord, it's the only way that it would be possible. Oh Lord, the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. Thank you, O Lord, for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you for brothers and sisters of like precious faith. Thank you for Christian homes and families and all the things that we have had in our past, Lord, that were very pleasant to have. Lord, help us to be willing to bear the reproaches of Christ and esteem them greater riches than all the glories of this world. Just bless us, O Father, and may we continue to give you glory and praise and honor you. Bless the meetings, the service that's being held today at Thy Run. Bless Brother Sherwin at Elm Street as he preaches there, Lord, and finishes up tonight. Bless him, Lord. With revivals in Winchester next week, Lord. We just pray that your will would be done. And bless Brother Keith as he prepares for them. Guide us and keep us, and may we give you glory and praise. For we ask in the name of Jesus, our Savior.